Welcome to the Sundial Writers' Corner. I'm Dory Nutt, one of the producers of this program that shines a spotlight on area authors reading their own works of poetry and prose. On this Monday before Thanksgiving, Carol Hawk shares a story of thanks and love.
Roscoe, the best dog I ever had the pleasure of sharing my life with, prayed before he ate his breakfast and supper. He'd go to his bowl, usually waiting until I invited him because he was also very polite. And then he'd bow his head for 10 to 30 seconds, the time depending on either how much he was thankful for or maybe on what deliciousness I mixed with his dry food. He was the best, the smartest dog, and one I am very thankful to have known for over 16 years. He set a high bar. I figured we'd probably never have another like him. Unfortunately, when our other mutts, Luke and Jack, came to us, this proved to be true. We did have hopes of at least a good relationship, but they lived in a holler of 100 woodland acres surrounded by ridgelines and only a handful of neighbors. Truly a doggy paradise. With maybe one brain cell to share between them, neither I nor my partner became their people. We loved them, sure, though they usually stank and their furs prickled with burrs, and even though for the first 12 years or so of their 16-year existences, we hardly ever saw them except at feeding times, maybe, and hardly ever when they were called. When I went for walks with them, they left me time and time again as possible prey for another wandering bear in our woods or a mountain lion, of which I've seen three in southern Middle Tennessee. No, the dogs would catch a scent or hear a noise, and off they go. During cooler weather, on most nights, somewhere in our holler, they'd raise their beautiful, warbling, howling cries against those of coyotes, but at least it served to keep their wilder cousins away and kept our cats safe. When Jack and Luke did grace us with their presence longer than just to grab a bite to eat, it was usually because of thunder or someone shot guns off nearby or because it was bitter cold or extremely hot or meat cooked on the grill or to say hello to any visitors coming up our driveway. For the most part, we just left food out for them, kind of like filling the bird feeder every day. Once in a while, we were able to treat them to leftovers or scraps, but it did not entice them to hang around waiting for more. Not only did this make me sad, I thought they were idiots. I mean, all the pets and hugs they could have had over the years, the squeaky toys under the Christmas trees that Roscoe loved to rip open and tear the squeakers out of, the car rides, treats at drive-thru windows. It didn't matter to them they missed out on the thousands of I love yous, but I certainly missed it. Instead, they got, dogs are here. Did you put food out for them? One of us would go out onto the porch, give them food, maybe give it a pat or two on the top of their heads, as that was usually not always the cleanest area and one not prone to prickling our skin or leaving our hands smelly. And then we'd watch them leave after eating with nary a wag or thanks, boss, before charging into the woods again. And so it was with surprise they actually started staying home a few years ago, about the same time my own health precipitated an early retirement. I guess all those years of running around in the world took its toll on all of us. Now that I was home all the time, they wanted to come in at night, stick around close during the day, and were very ready to see if I'd put some sticky, tasty stuff in their food bowls. Also, with some surprise, I noticed Jack waited for me to invite him to his dish, and unless he was particularly hungry and couldn't wait, he bowed his head as though praying before he ate, very reminiscent of Roscoe. I seem to be rambling. This story started as a Thanksgiving tribute, a custom my family participated in, a time of coming together, sharing food and stories, of praying over food, of being thankful for the bounty in our lives. Science has proven giving thanks for our daily bread actually improves health and well-being. Expressing daily gratitude reminds us it's not all about doom and gloom when times are tough. The side of the paper with good things written down on it is usually longer than the stuff on the other side that makes us cry or get angry. But as I thought about it before I started typing, Stinky Jack came up to my desk and looked up at me. He's alone now, Luke having died last Thanksgiving. Most days, the old guy looks lonely. I cooed at him and I said I loved him. His tail wagged and his sad eyes squinted back at me as though mirroring the love visible in my own. It reminded me a dog doesn't have to be the best dog in the world like Roscoe, that it's never too late to love no matter what stinky thing you've rolled in. I do not believe it is an accident that the word dog spelled backward is God, and that their number one gift to us is unconditional love. Some people, maybe most, only get such a gift from dogs, for the dog you care for and love will always show it to you regardless of anything the world throws at you or how the world views and treats you. So this Thanksgiving, I give thanks not only for my loving family, for my partner and the boys, now men, who call me mom too, and for those who stand up for people like me against hate and prejudice. I'm even thankful for my stinky sweet dogs for loving this 100-acre wood as much as I do and for loving me unconditionally.
Fayetteville, Tennessee's Carol Hawk reports that her dog Jack now has a new companion, a 3-year-old German Shepherd named Pepper. You can hear Carol's story again by visiting our website, WLRH.org, and clicking on Sundial under the Shows and Podcast tab. We'll be back next Monday with a new episode for you.